getting these folks to second line is going to be uncommon. So I'm glad the person who asked the question had such a patient, because that's, I think a lot of these patients with Child Pugh B disease, when they progress, they're going to progress to where they really aren't good candidates for any sort of treatment. But in the situation where you have someone who kind of maintains the same liver function along with progression, I mean, I do like Dr. Marshall's idea of a checkpoint inhibitor conceptually, because it's not going to have the same kind of toxicity. Regorafenib is going to have a fairly similar toxicity profile to sorafenib. But I think that realistically, what's going to happen is regorafenib is going to get approved soon for second-line therapy, and we're going to be waiting a little more time for the checkpoint inhibitors. So probably the easier answer for people is going to be to give regorafenib, because we are going to have the randomized data and it's going to be approved. And, you know, we're going to have this same kind of discussion with the patient about side effects and likely time, and is it worth the side effects? But certainly, again, I'd be tempted to reduce dose at the outset in a Child Pugh B patient who was going to be treated with regorafenib.
I'd like you to talk a little bit, and you talked at the meeting about the data that we have on regorafenib as well as checkpoint inhibitors. But first, I wanted to go through the results of a question we asked to the audience, which was, we wanted them to think about the last patient who got sorafenib as first-line therapy for metastatic HCC and what happened second-line. And interestingly, I think it's really amazing, actually, 35% of these people actually got regorafenib, which is interesting. 13% got a checkpoint inhibitor as second-line therapy, and then 37% had palliative care. When we asked the faculty, actually, you said your patient got anti-PD-1 antibody. Several people said that, and the others said regorafenib. So let's talk about the data that we have right now on those two entities, regorafenib and checkpoint inhibitors, and where you think it's going to sort of shake out in terms of sequencing.
Yeah, it's, again, I think a rapidly evolving area and a pretty exciting one. So I think the biggest difference potentially between the checkpoint inhibitors and regorafenib is going to be radiographic response. And a lot of times, along with radiographic response, you get clinical improvement. So that's always nice to see, especially in a patient who's, you know, dealing with both a cancer and cirrhosis at the same time. So I think there's going to be a very strong preference, if it's approved in second line, for people to get PD-1 antibody therapy. The dilemma is there's going to be a lot of people who get a PD-1 antibody who get no benefit from it at all. And so those people are going to progress rapidly. Whereas you might imagine with regorafenib that the degree of benefit is kind of spread across a larger number of patients. So you're trading the potential for a big response against the potential for having no response at all in rapid progression. So it's hard to know where that will settle out exactly, or whether perhaps combinations of those things will be possible. But those are certainly questions to be answered by studies for the next few years.